Good morning. Welcome to Grace of Christ. Let's stand together for our call to worship. Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Standing as you are able as we sing our hymn of praise this morning.
Be seated. Let's come together as God's people in prayer this morning. Father, thank you for this beautiful time of the year, for the warm days and cool nights. Your creation will soon be radiant with the beautiful, brilliant colors of fall. Thank you for your creation. Thank you for the spring and summer of this year with the warm temperatures, water for our crops, fertile soil that gives us the bountiful harvest that's underway in our valley. Father, we give you thanks that you have chosen us as your covenant people. You have taken these earthen vessels and transformed them, molding and fitting us to conform to your purpose. You have fired us with your Spirit and given each unique talents. Though diverse, we are one through Christ. We give you thanks that your Spirit continues to inspire us to use your gifts. It is the Holy Spirit who takes what seems impossible and makes it become reality. Father, who chose to dwell among us in Jesus, we give thanks that we can behold your glory and learn of your will. As Jesus taught of old in the synagogue, so your truth is made known today in the pulpit and in the classroom. Father, would you open our ears to listen as Pastor Bill teaches us how to learn of your structure you have for each of us, how you have given us with certain gifts and talents to be in certain relationships and experiences, and that together give us our purpose, our shape in life. Hear us this morning, Father, as we pray for those that are in despair, when earthly hope seems to elude them. Grant them a vision of your boundless mercy. Appear to them in the sadness of their darkest moments and make real for them the victory of Christ's resurrection. We pray for those who are ill, who are faced with unsettling news, who are uncertain what the future holds for them, especially those whose lives have been turned upside down due to hurricanes and floods. And we pray for those who grieve the loss of a loved one. Surround them all with your embracing compassion. Care for them in their solitude. Comfort them during the lonely hours. Help them to remember that when we are weak, then we are strong. Remind us of what you've told us. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. With Christ as our hope, Father, we stand here in this sanctuary seeking your pardon. We confess that we have not worshiped you alone. Life makes its demands, and we push you to the margins. Forgive us for our small minds and mistaken priorities. Restore in us the sense of your greatness and your ultimate claim on our lives. Let us be still for a moment as we draw near to you in the silence and place before you those things which we need to confess. God was in Christ reconciling the world, satisfying our hunger and thirst after righteousness. All who come to Jesus and humbly confess their sin will be filled with God's mercy and sustained by God's grace. Know and believe the good news of God's love. Lord God, in this short time together this morning, open our ears and our eyes to see your vision for this place and our part within it. Teach us, hear our prayers, enable us for service wherever you might take us. To your praise and glory we pray. Let us join together as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand for our hymn of thanksgiving, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Before you have a seat, would you turn around to those next to you and just bless them in the name of Christ this morning? All right, you can grab a seat when you're done. So I have good news and bad news, all in one thing. My wife graduated from UCLA. So we have some Husky fans here this morning. Sorry about that. I didn't even know the final result until I got up this morning. I went to bed thinking the Bruins were just being killed by the Cougs. No way to win. But got up this morning and my wife said, they won. I went, no, you're kidding. They did. So anyways, I just had to throw that out there. We're wrapping up today with our, you know, what it means to be an E4 Christian, an E4 church. We've been going through our circle there, talking about, first of all, what it means to encounter Christ on a regular, moment-by-moment basis. We talked about how to exalt God in our worship as the one who is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Last week, we talked about how to excel into spiritual maturity, focusing on what it means to excel in grace. Today, we're going to talk about what it means to be equipped for ministry. And you noticed, as you came in probably, there's a ministry fair going on out there. And I didn't actually plan it this way, but that's just the way God worked it out. So today we'll talk about how it is that we can use our gifts for the glory of God in ministry, in service somehow. And you get to go out and sign up and be a part of what's going on here at Grace of Christ. To be equipped basically means trusting and believing that God provides, gives us all that we need in order to accomplish His purpose in our lives for His glory. So it's that God gives to us whatever season of life you're in, whatever task you are doing, whatever it is you feel called to right now, or whatever might come tomorrow or the next week or in the years to come, God goes before you and He paves the path and He prepares you and equips you for whatever your tomorrows might bring. But He also prepares you and equips you so that you might be His vessel, that you might be an instrument in His hands, that He might use you to glorify Him by helping redeem the world by advancing the kingdom of God. So that's what we're going to focus on this morning. And I just have one verse for you today in Ephesians chapter 2. And I was going to say beginning at verse 10. Beginning and ending at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Almighty God, speak to us this morning. Remind us, Lord, whatever it is that we are going through right now, that You are with us, that You are aware of our particular situation. You know what's in our heart and on our mind. And Lord, You perhaps have called us to this moment, to this place, for this time. And so, Father, remind us that You are the God of creation, that You have a plan and a purpose for us, a part of Your kingdom, a part of Your creation, to redeem lives, communities in this world for Your glory. For I pray in the name of Christ. Amen. You probably have heard the phrase that God doesn't call the equipped, but He equips the called. And we are all called by God to be in a relationship with Him, but we're also called by God to perform what it is He's wanting us to accomplish in this lifetime for His glory and for His kingdom. In Isaiah 45:5, God, speaking to the prophet, said, I am the Lord, and there is no other besides me. There is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me. Before we were created, before we were conceived in our mother's womb, God was intimate and familiar with us. He had a plan and a purpose for us. He has created us with a unique design. And so this morning, I just want us to understand who we are in relationship to God, why He's created us, what is it that we're here on earth for, not just for our purpose, but for God's purpose, no matter what season of life we might be in. So the first point is this, is that God equips us for His good pleasure. I love Revelation 4:11 in the King James Version. It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Two ways to look at that. First and foremost is that God created us to find our pleasure in Him, to glorify Him, to honor Him. God created us to love Him, to be loved by Him, to be in relationship with Him, to be known by Him as we know Him. We were created to find our pleasure in God alone. Nothing in this world will satisfy us. Nothing in this world is a guarantee. Only God, who never changes, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is where we find our satisfaction. That is where we are to find our pleasure. You know, the question in Westminster Shorter Catechism that talks about, well, what is man's chief end? What is it that we're here for? It says, the answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That doesn't mean that we have to wait until we get into heaven to enjoy Him, but it means here on earth that we are to enjoy this relationship that we have with God. We are to enjoy whatever it is that He has created us to do while here on earth. So don't postpone, don't put off enjoying God forever. Jesus said, I came to give you life abundantly, not just in eternity, but here in this world as well. So we are created to find pleasure in our relationship with God, but we are also created because God takes pleasure in us. He delights in us. Yes, we are created to love God, to know God, to delight in Him, to take pleasure in Him, but we only love God because He first loved us. We can only take pleasure in Him because He first took pleasure in us. In fact, Paul in our text this morning says, we are God's workmanship. Workmanship, that word comes out of the word that we find the word poem. It's a literary masterpiece. It's what one person said is God's magnum opus. We are His greatest achievement. As one person said, we are the greatest letter ever written by the hand of the master author. Before you were conceived, He knew you. He is so intimately familiar with you that He says, I know every hair on your head. I know all things about you. And I delight in you. I take pleasure in you. I celebrate you because you are mine. You belong to me. You are my greatest possession. So we find our pleasure in God as we accept and trust and believe that God takes pleasure in us. You know, the enemy doesn't want us to believe that. The enemy wants us to just dwell on the fact that we are not worthy of God's love. The enemy wants us to believe that we are not capable of being loved by God. And so we have to constantly combat those lies and bring in the truth that we are created by God, that we are His workmanship, and that He finds great joy in us. And yes, we're going to fail, we're going to blow it, we're going to fall and stumble and along the way. But it's not then that God says, oh, be done with you. It's then that God says, allow me to come now with more grace and more love and more forgiveness. Let me come to you in the midst of your mess, in the midst of the dirt and the mud. Isn't that the world Jesus came to in the beginning? That God so loved the world that he came into our mess. And so rather than wallowing in the times that we have disappointed God and allowing the enemy to convince us that we are failures and losers and to shame us and to guilt us, when we're in those places, Psalm 121 says, lift your eyes to the hills, because that's where your help comes from, your Maker and Lord, the one who created heaven and earth. And he wants to come now and to pick you up and get you back on the right track. He says, let me clean you. Let my grace cover you. Let me wash you and make you pure. You know, we say if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and he'll forgive us. He's done so on the cross through Jesus Christ. But it also says he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So God takes great pleasure in us. You're all familiar with the Olympian, Eric Liddell. You know his story about how his sister believed he was called to be a missionary in China, and he eventually went to be a missionary in China. But first, he said, before that, I have another call in my life. And you know those famous words. He says, I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. You may not be an Olympic runner. You may not be a missionary to China, but whatever your lot in life, God takes pleasure in you. You will feel his pleasure as you surrender to what God has called you to do. And sometimes it's a difficult, hard call. Some people in this season of life are caring for elderly parents. Some people are caring for a spouse, a neighbor. Some people are caring for their grandchildren. And this is what God has called them to do, but he's also prepared you, he's equipped you for such a time as this. And as we surrender to that call, and as we step into it, as Paul says, as we now walk in this call that God has given to us, we will feel the pleasure of God. We will know that he takes great delight in us. We might think, well, what am I here on earth for? Why has God allowed this to go on? I don't even think I'm good for anything in this world. I don't know what I'm doing. And whatever your lot in life, wherever God has called you, he's prepared you for such a time as this. He's gone before you. He knew what was coming before you did. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. You got enough going on today. So be present today. Take care of what God has given you today. Be faithful with what God is calling you to do today. Because as you do so, you will find great pleasure in knowing that your Heavenly Father loves you and has given you all that you need for today. Second, God equips us for his good works. For his good works. Not ours. And notice that Paul says we are created in Christ Jesus. That means in our salvation, in our recreation, in Christ, God says, now I have you on track. Once you were lost, but now you're found. Once you are out of my will, but now that you have come to me through Christ, I have a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. Really, God, is this what you called me to do today? Not to harm you, but to give you a hope in a future. So don't be a worry. Don't be afraid about what's coming tomorrow. Don't wonder if you'll have what you need to get up each and every day. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, but seek first the kingdom of God today. Paul says today is the day of salvation. So be present. Be available. Be willing to step into whatever it is that God is calling you to do today. That is a good work. That is a good deed. That is a good job. So many times we wait until somebody has passed away and at their celebration of life, we talk about how when they enter into heaven that they'll hear the words of God saying, well done. Good and faithful servant. But you know what? I believe God is telling that to us every day. Every morning when we wake up, when we do what He's called us to do, as we are in tune with the Holy Spirit, as we are in sync with what God would have us to do today, when we hug somebody, when we give somebody a loaf of bread, when we get on our knees and pray, when we read the Bible, when we come to church, He's saying, well done, good and faithful servant. But you know, we're a people, a proud people. We want to know, what are my good works? What is it that God wants me to do? We want to make certain that we're doing all the right things. And so when I look at here, and Paul says that God has created you in Christ Jesus for good works, He didn't save us because of our good works. He didn't save us because we're doing all these amazing things. He saved us for good works, to do His bidding, to fulfill His purpose in our life in this world. So God, what is it I'm supposed to do? Well, we could look at it and simply say, well, it's what all Christians are supposed to do. Love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and body. Love one another. Love our neighbors. Visit the sick. Take care of those who are in prison. Care for the poor. You know, we're to come to church, we're to worship God, we're to pray faithfully, we're to read the Bible, we're to give of our tithes and our offerings, we're to go out into the garden room and sign up for a ministry team, we're supposed to be in a life group. And those are good works. But we're beating ourselves up silly, chasing our tail around, if we constantly are pursuing these acts, these good works, in order to please God. Rather than saying, what is it, God, you would have me to do? What is it, God, that only I can do? What is it, God, that is unique and specific about me? You know, Debbie and I went to visit our daughter in Spokane the last couple of days. And on the way driving home, I realized I forgot my phone. So she has it, but she can't open it up and use it. Nobody can, because I have to use my thumb to open it up. Isn't God amazing that He created a phone that will open up? No, He created me in such a way that nobody else has my thumbprint. Nobody else has my DNA. Aren't you glad that you're not the person on the left or the right of you? That you, it's you. They are not you. That you're unique, and that you, God has created you for a unique and special purpose. It's you. And it may not necessarily be winning the Olympic race. It may not be going off to be a missionary in China. You know, we often get confused and we think, well, if I'm really supposed to do what God is calling me to do, then of course I'm supposed to go off into some third world country that has no running water. Well, maybe. But for some of us, it's just a matter of doing ordinary things for an extraordinary God who will use what we have to give for His purpose and for His glory. My wife is a middle school substitute teacher, middle school students, bless her heart. She loves it. There's got to be something wrong, right? I mean, she can't wait to get up and to go be with these middle school students. But she loves them. And she's learned over time what to say when, on a rare occasion, a middle school student will kind of be annoying to her. Just on that off time when some kid isn't respecting or treating the substitute teacher very well. They're not respecting her. They're manipulating the system. They're trying to get her to do something that the teacher wouldn't do. And then they kind of whine and say, you're not fair. You're kind of a mean teacher. They called her worse. Trust me. She's learned to say this to them. Well, that's a you problem. We all have our problems, don't we? We all have our unique situations. We all have troubles and difficulties. We all have strengths and gifts. We're not all the same. And so, but if we look at just the fact that, well, my good works is about showing up to church, putting in money in the offering plate, singing songs, reading my Bible, praying, we're missing the bigger picture. Because God says, I've created you for so much more. There's only one you. And I have prepared you for something, for my purpose and my kingdom. You may not get the applause of man, but you'll get my applause. You may not get the accolades and the rewards on earth, but you'll get them in heaven. Basically, when Paul says that we have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, he says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He's literally talking about a lifestyle. Not that we figure out, this is what I'm good at, and this is what I'll do, and so make a list, and here's how I'm going to serve God, and here's what I'm going to do with my gifts. He says, no, it's an ongoing lifestyle. Your life is one of good works. Your life is one that radiates my glory. He says, I've created you in my image, and I've created you in Christ Jesus for good works that will glorify me and honor me. That hug you give, the smile you share with somebody, that letter you write, that phone call you make. It's all a part of who you are and how you live your life. How you respond to the very slow checkout person at the store. How you respond to that person who drove and cut off your lane. It's a lifestyle. It's not just doing good things, but it's a lifestyle reflecting the glory of God. The essence of it is found in Colossians 3:23. Paul says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. You see, whatever you do, Paul says, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, to live out your life for the glory of God, for His purpose, for His kingdom. To do what He has already prepared for you to do, to trust and believe that whatever corner you are coming around, He's gone before you and He will give you exactly what you need at that moment in that place. And that brings me to the final point. God equips us for His good purpose. You remember Jesus was in the garden and He was struggling. He said, is this what you created me for? Is this what I'm supposed to do? If there's another way, God, take this cup from me. But in the end, He said, it's not about me. It's not my purpose. It's not my plan. It's not my will. But to You belongs all the glory. So we at times have to set aside our agenda. There's times that life throws us a curveball. There's times that there are interruptions and distractions. And God wants us to pay attention to those, because it could be that you alone were created for such a time as this. So rather than looking at it as being an annoyance, rather than looking at it as being something that's taking away what you want to do, how you want to spend your life, we have to come before God and say, not my will, but Yours. To You belongs all the glory. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. It's about His plan. It's about His agenda. It's about what He wants to accomplish in and through us, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. That God, who looks upon us in all our glory and our splendor and all our filth and dirt, still comes to and says, I choose you. I want you to help redeem my world. I want you to be a light in the world. I want you to tell others the good news of Christ. So I want to end with just a story. And I want to thank Don Primrose for this story. He gave me a book, a big book, thick book, that you need to talk to him after church and ask him how he found this book. Right, Don? I forget what it's called, God and Country and something else, but it's filled with anecdotes, stories, true stories, quotes of governors, presidents, senators, statesmen, of scientists, of professors. And one of the, I just happened to come upon this one this week, about George Washington Carver. Now, you all know George Washington. Well, you don't know him personally, but you've heard of, well, some of you maybe knew him. George Washington Carver, scientist, educator, inventor, a follower of Christ, a godly man. He's known primarily for what? Peanuts, peanut butter. He's actually invented over 300 uses for the peanut and 118 uses for the sweet potato. In 1920, he was invited by the YMCA of Blue Ridge, North Carolina, to speak to some students. And this is what he said. He told them, "One day I went into my laboratory and said, 'Dear Mr. Creator, God, please tell me what the universe was made for.' The great communicator answered, 'You want to know too much for that little mind of yours. Ask something more your size, little man.' Then I asked, 'Please, Mr. Creator, tell me what man was made for.' Again, God replied, 'You are still asking too much.' So then I asked, 'Please, Mr. Creator, will you tell me why the peanut was made?' 'That's better,' God answered. 'What do you want to know about the peanut?' 'Can I make milk out of the peanut?' 'What kind of milk?' 'Good Jersey milk or just plain boarding house milk?' 'Good Jersey milk,' Carver said. And then he said, 'The great creator then taught me to take the peanut apart and put it back together again. And out of that process have come forth all these products. And up on display were all the products, all the ways that he has used peanut, including a bottle of good Jersey milk.' So whoever thinks they were the inventor of almond milk needs to read their history book and see where it all began. But there's more. In 1921, Carver addressed the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Ways and Means about the many uses of the peanut as a means to improve the economy of the South. He wanted to get rid of cotton as an economy, which is a deeper issue that he was going after. And when he finished, the chairman asked him, "Dr. Carver, how did you learn about all these things?" Carver answered him, "From an old book." "What book?" And when Carver said, "The Bible," the chairman asked, "Does the Bible talk about peanuts?" "No, sir, but it tells about the God who made the peanut. So I asked him, God, to show me what to do with the peanut. And he did." At another gathering, Carver spoke in front of these folks saying, "God is going to reveal to us things he never revealed before. Things he never revealed before if we put our hands in his." He says, "No books, no science books, no math books ever go into my laboratory," which he calls God's little workshop. "The thing I am to do and the way of doing it are revealed to me. I never have to grope for methods. The method is revealed to me the moment I'm inspired to create something new. Without God to draw aside the curtain, I would be helpless." And he says, "Once I'm inside the laboratory, I shut and lock the door because only alone can I draw close enough to God to discover his secrets." So I don't know if your life right now is exactly as you planned it. But if I were a betting man, I'd bet that it's the way God planned it. And that he has given you exactly what you need. If you are fortunate enough to have or have had a career or done something in your life that you found great pleasure in and you knew God was delighted in you, I want you to this morning just to give him thanks for that. For those of you who struggle, who are wondering, am I doing what God wants me to do? Is this my calling in life? Then I want you to turn to God this morning and like Dr. Carver, to get alone with God and say, "God, this is my situation. This is what I'm involved in. This is what I'm doing. Show me. Show me the way. Show me what it is I need to keep doing. Give me what I need to find pleasure in what I'm doing. Because yes, I believe there is joy even in difficult times. If we understand that God has prepared us even for the valley of the shadow of death, and that as we walk with Him hand in hand, He finds great delight and pleasure in us. So this morning, in your own way, you know, shut and lock the door, go into your laboratory, spend some time in silence right now, and just thank God that He's the God who has provided for you. He has given you what you need for this time of life or throughout all your years. Or use this as a time to invite God into whatever is going on, whatever your lot, whatever your situation, wherever it is that you wonder why you even get up in the morning. Invite God into that. Help Him to open your eyes and to show you the pleasure that He has with you even today. So just spend time in silence, and then I'll close us in prayer. Father, hear us now as we come before You. Lord, You know all about us. You're intimate. You're familiar with us. Lord, You know our fears and our worries and our anxieties. You know our strengths and our weaknesses. So, Lord, just remind us again of Your pleasure in us and that You have created us for such a time as this. And now, God, to You belong all the glory and the power and the honor in the name of, because of, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you, ladies. That was beautiful. If you think that might be something God's calling you to do, not me.
I can use a few more.
Well, there's a ministry table out in the garden room where you can stop by and check that out. It always fascinates me how they can do that. Before we share together the joy of giving, I want to welcome you this morning to worship here at Grace of Christ, and especially if you are a visitor, go on into the garden room after the service and check out the ministry tables, but also stop by the Welcome Center booth and pick up some packet of information about life here at Grace, and pick up a coffee card for you and your family there. And for the rest of us, for all of us, look into your bulletin in the pew in front of you, pull out that little black and white card. That's our Connect card. That's how we know you are here. That's how the staff knows if you have any special requests or concerns, prayers, praises, questions. Put it on that card along with your name and date and time and go. And drop it in the offering plate when it comes by a little bit later on. That's how we connect with you and keep you informed. Lots going on in the life of our church this fall. You probably already noticed that the fairs started. How many of you have been out there so far? Well, there's an opportunity for you to go on out this Saturday. September 28th is our day, Grace of Christ Day, at the Young Life booth, where they make those wonderful barbecue sandwiches. We have an opportunity to volunteer to serve out there in morning shift, afternoon shift, or evening shift. There are 13 spots left for this Saturday. So once again, on that Connect card, put down Young Life and what time you might want to serve. And you'll get a free pass to the fair and a free sandwich while you serve out there. Life groups start this week. Life groups are those small groups that come together and review the blue sheet of sermon notes that's in your bulletin each week. They discuss those and find out what it means to them, answer the questions, and kick it around. Life groups are really important. There's a checkout in the garden room. There should be a life groups table out there, and check with Sean at the table. And there's still time to sign up to be in a life group. Okay, men. There's an important event coming up this Saturday, September 28th. Here comes Donna to tell us about it. It's a men's conference on this Saturday.
Actually, this is a message from Carolyn Sundquist, and she had been asked to speak to us women of Grace of Christ today about an amazing opportunity coming up in our church on September 28th when two renowned speakers coming from Australia will come to speak life and encouragement into the hearts of the men of Yakima. So this is a message to all of us girls from Carolyn. John Gottman has recently been acknowledged as one of the most significant voices in the world in speaking to the restoration of marriages. This is what he says to men. Okay, men. Men have the power to make or break a relationship. What men do in a relationship is, by a large margin, the crucial factor that separates a great relationship from a failed one. This does not mean that a woman doesn't need to do her part, but the data proves that a man's actions are the key variable that determines whether a relationship succeeds or fails, which is ironic, since most relationship books are written for women. Heart surgery on the wrong patient. Carolyn would tell you that she has experienced the powerful impact on her husband when he is actively in the Word and being fed by men of God that speak life into his soul. It has been a profound influence on her family, she says, and on all their relationships. Dr. Alan Meyer, co-founder of CareForce Life Keys, and Andrew Jobling, a professional rules football player, will be speaking on how to energize men with meaning and purpose for their lives to have a significant impact on well-being of those around them. So, women, we need to encourage the men in our lives to attend this conference, The Ripple Effect of Brave Heart manhood this Saturday at 9 o'clock down in the gym, and there'll be lunch to follow with a fun fellowship. You do need to RSVP, and you can do that at the Connect Center or on your Connect card. Thanks, Dennis.
I just want to tack on to that. It reminded me of several years ago, there was a huge men's movement nationwide called Promise Keepers. Any of you remember Promise Keepers movement? One of the conferences that I went to for those several years of that movement, I think it was in Denver, a pastor spoke there to the men, 50,000 men in a stadium, Dr. Ed Cole. He said that, speaking to men about their marriage relationship, he said, if you want to know what kind of a husband a man is, look into the face of his wife. For what he has invested in her or withheld from her will be reflected in her countenance. And that has stuck with me ever since that conference happened. And I'm sure that there will be many more wonderful things for us men to learn this Saturday from 9 till 12 with a lunch to follow. So it's important to mark on that card if you're going to be there, and especially if you're going to stay for lunch, so we can get a head count of who will be there for lunch. Another opportunity for you is Living Waters Ministry. I'm going to invite Larry to come up and Monty to speak to that for a few minutes. And there's a short video that we'll show about Living Waters for the World.
Soy el pastor Apolinario, aquí en la iglesia Emmanuel de Chaxinquín. La planta que tenemos, gracias a ustedes, ha sido de mucha bendición, en primer lugar, para nosotros como iglesia. La planta, pues, ha también ayudado mucho a la comunidad donde vivimos. Las personas les ha gustado muchísimo. Antes los hermanos solamente tomaban agua del pozo. Y ahora hay muchos hermanos que tomaban agua del pozo. Ahora ya no toman agua del pozo, sino que ya compran su agua y les hacemos llegar allá. Igual hay algunos hermanos que pues ya son ancianitos de la iglesia. Les donamos el agua a ellos. Y entonces ha significado mucho para... mucha bendición para la iglesia. Por ahora estamos vendiendo como 60 diarios. También surtimos a las escuelas, dos escuelas.
Mi nombre es María Eugenia Sánchez Paul. Soy la directora de la escuela primaria Héroes del 1847 de esta comunidad de Chaxinquim. Hablando un poco acerca de lo que es el programa de Aguas Limpias para el Mundo, este programa está participando con nosotros acá en la escuela. Ha sido de gran ayuda, ya que el estado de Yucatán se caracteriza por que el agua es dura y se presentan muchas enfermedades, las cuales provocan diarrea, vómitos en los alumnos. Entonces hemos visto que ha disminuido bastante ese tipo de enfermedades. Y a su vez, pues eso hace que los alumnos tengan una asistencia pues más constante a la escuela, porque ya no presentan ese tipo de cuadros.
También salimos a vender de acá a una pequeña comunidad que se llama Tishmewak. En Tishmewak trabajamos 3 días a la semana.
Martes, jueves y sábado. 3 días a la semana vamos a Tishmewak. Y gracias a Dios que pues en Tishmewak tenemos mucha demanda de agua. Nos espera la gente de allá en Tishmewak.
Vendemos hasta 40 garrafones cuando vamos. Ahí es donde la gente también les gusta mucho el agua, pero tenemos un problema. Es por el... para trasladarlo.
Nos trasladamos con dos motos. Motos de carga, el uno lleva 14, el otro lleva 16 garrafones de agua. Y pues tenemos la necesidad también de una camionetita, si es la voluntad de Dios, que para ya poder distribuir más en otro pueblo, porque hay pueblos que sí necesitan agua, donde no llega el agua purificada. Hay veces nos ven en Tishmeo, hay gente que es de Tuto, Tuto, Kimbilá, nos ven allá y dicen, ¿por qué no llegan en nuestro pueblo? A veces que no podemos ahorita les decir.
Hermanos de la iglesia de Yakima, de verdad estamos muy agradecidos por este apoyo. Gracias por todo lo que nos has dado, han dado el equipo de la planta, que pues de verdad de la manera como ustedes han recibido una bendición de parte de Dios, asimismo nos han dado a ustedes y ha sido de gran bendición. Deseamos mucha bendición en su con toda la iglesia, con todos los hermanos, en sus trabajos, su familia. Y hermanos, estamos muy agradecidos en nombre de la iglesia. Le agradecemos por este valioso apoyo que nos han brindado aquí en nuestra iglesia Emmanuel de Chaxinquin.
Yeah, that's it. Is this on? Can you hear it? Okay. Yeah, that's a great video on what we do. And in the last 10 or 12 years, we've installed 5 water systems in the Yucatan. That's the last one we did. And we've installed 4 water systems in Guatemala. These systems are sized up to serve about 300 people a day. And some people expand their systems so they can serve more than that, maybe double that. The water is expensive for these people because if they buy it commercially, it usually takes about a quarter of their income to buy water. And with these systems, we make a covenant with them that they provide water to the elderly and disabled people that can't earn income. They provide the water for free to those people, and then beyond that, they sell the water. And the selling the water helps them maintain the systems, buying new filters and pumps and whatever they need as they go. So these are the last 2 systems we installed. Both need to, they can expand their system and provide water for more people, but their transportation of the water is their limiting factor. So there is a, right now we have enough water, or water, enough money to do another system, and we're planning on going into the Yucatan maybe the first of the year or shortly after that. And we're looking at maybe 3 different sites right now that would be compatible with what we want to do. So we have enough funds to do those systems. The need right now is for money for pickups for these people. And so anybody interested in going on one of these trips, we'd like to have you sign up. We can put you on an email list and you can attend our meetings, and we'd love to have you come along. You really don't need any experience. We have part of the team does installs the equipment. The other part of the team does like a VBS in the schools and in the church and teaches the kids and the mothers and stuff how to use the water. And then another part of our system is a survey trip and stuff. So, Monty is an essential part of our teamwork, and we, mainly because he knows how to speak fluent Spanish and he communicates with the people really well. But the really thing that shines about Monty is his relationship with the people in the community and the people in the church, and developing a relationship that benefits us all. So, Monty, I'd like to say a few words.
Thank you, Larry. Larry's just about covered everything. I would just like to add what a privilege it has been for us to represent Grace of Christ and Yakima Covenant Church. It's been wonderful and humbling to serve among these brothers and sisters. They are so grateful for the opportunity to serve their churches and communities with clean, affordable drinking water. As Larry mentioned, I've been able to communicate with folks over the years, and they always send greetings from their congregations to ours.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. If you are interested in participating in the Living Waters program that Larry and Monty have described, and to provide equipment for that program and want to give, please write Living Waters on your check or your envelope, or you can text Yakima Grace to 73256, or give online, yakimagrace.com/give, or drop your check in the offering plate when it comes by for that worthy ministry. Let's pray. Father, we want to pray for Living Waters ministry, Lord, that fresh water can be made and delivered to those areas of the world that so desperately need it for their health and safety and well-being. And we pray also that along with the fresh water, that the living waters of the true living waters of Jesus Christ is shown to those people in love and grace as well, Father. Father, we just thank you for the many ways that we can respond to your love and to the way you've gifted us to serve and to give of ourselves and to respond to your still small voice in our heads, urging us to follow that certain shape or purpose of life that Pastor Bill talked about. Father in Christ, you call us to live a life worthy of our calling. We come before you now and ask you to accept these gifts that we present to you. They are just a portion of what you give us in abundance. So multiply what we use and what we give to you this morning. Multiply it for the good of your kingdom. May who we are and what we are be acceptable in your sight through Christ our Redeemer. Amen.
all God's people said, Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May He turn His countenance towards you and give you peace now and forever. Amen. God bless.